Good morning and welcome. It's good to hear all the chatter and friendship conversations going on out there today. We're grateful that you are here with us at Park Place Christian Church, and we hope that you will help us as we praise God and join in fellowship. My name is Shirley Humes, and I will be your worship leader this morning, and it's great to have you all with us. On behalf of the members and leadership of the church, we extend a special welcome to our guests and visitors this morning. We would like to have a record of all who are here today, so if you could take a moment to sign the attendance pads at the end of each pew, we would appreciate that. And then after you've signed, if you could pass that to other people in your row. And if you see a guest there or a visitor, please make yourself or introduce yourself to them and make them feel welcome. For those of you who are worshiping online today, we welcome you and invite you to enter a comment such as good morning so that we know you are with us today. Back on the information table in the narthex, you'll find a card, and these cards are for individuals in the church as a way of letting them know that we are thinking about them and praying for them. And today, the card is for Evelyn McGiver. So please take a moment, if you haven't done so already, after the service, to visit the information table and sign the card. On the back of your bulletin, you should see, you'll find a list of upcoming events, announcements, and a schedule of activities for our church family. And at this time, I'd like to highlight some of the activities going on in our church. If you look at your monitors, there's going to be a worship meeting on Wednesday, April 17th at 5:30. We are going to have a pizza and movie night on Saturday, April 27th at 5:30 p.m. And there is a sign-up sheet across the hall from the office. Men's fifth Monday fellowship is going to be on April 29th at Galva Christian Church. And are there any other announcements? All right. If not, let us prepare ourselves for worship so that we may experience the love of Christ in his presence here with us during our worship service this morning. Please stand as you are able as we join in our call to worship. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When it is grown, it is a very large shrub. God's transforming love begins in small ways to enter our hearts. Amen. Please join us in singing our opening hymn, Christians, We Have Met to Worship, and it's number 277, and we'll sing all verses. If you will bow your head, please. God of surprising love, you have called us to be your treasures, to be those who love and serve you by helping meet the needs of others. Jesus reminded us that we were like mustard seeds that could grow into mighty shelters for those who felt abandoned, that we were like yeast placed in flour, which causes the whole dough to rise and be fruitful for the nourishment of God's people, that we are also nets cast into the unknown sea, gathering people for the Lord, that they might be healed and saved. You place so much hope and trust in us. Please help us not to fail you. We bring before you this day persons and situations which need your healing love. Help us to be vehicles of that word for those unspoken prayers. Give us courage and empower us to serve you boldly and joyfully. For it is in the healing love of Christ that we offer this prayer. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to see you didn't blow away with all the wind we've had recently. Sorry there wasn't some moisture attached to that wind. That would have been nice, too. But we're thankful to be here together today. I want to be sure and thank Linda for playing for us this morning. The Pierce family is very musically gifted. Vicky's brother played guitar for us Tuesday at Bible study. And now today we have you playing for us. So thank you. It's a very wonderfully gifted musical family. Well, as we prepare our hearts now for prayer, we want to lift up prayer concerns. Do we have any concerns today?
This is Jan Klein. I have a celebration. I had a great-grandson born in Hopeville, California on Easter Sunday. Right. And his mother was a twin. And little brother died, but at that time June Winslow was Park Place Christian Sales garage. Came in and she called me and asked me if I wanted them for the baby. She only weighed 4 pounds, and sent. At that time.
Congratulations. Any other prayer concerns or joys that we want to lift up?
Yeah, this is David Oaks, and I don't know if it's been mentioned before, but I would like to thank Sean and Dawn for revitalizing our sign out there. It looks much better. It was on its last leg, so we got it out of there and carefully put it in the back of Sean's truck, and it looks great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that is good news. Thank you for doing that. Any others? Well, I was going to ask Shirley, how has the move gone? Have you moved yet? Oh, Sylvia, I called you Shirley. I'm still trying to wake up. Finished? Okay, good. Good. We're praying for a whole new beginning for you. A wonderful place to be. Yeah. I also want to mention Donna Basinger. She's had actually two deaths in her family recently. Her brother just died a couple of weeks ago, and now her mother has passed away as well. So we want to be sure and remember the Basingers in our prayers. Marilyn Ropp had surgery. As I understand, she fell and broke her wrist and had surgery this week. So we want to pray for a good recovery for her as well. Let's bow together in prayer. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. As we join with our brothers and sisters in Christ, O Lord, we focus on your faith-filled words. As we ponder your teaching, we are amazed to realize that through your loving power, we can accomplish absolutely anything. O Lord, when we realize just how good we can do in this world if our hearts are focused on you, we are filled with hope, with joy, and with purpose. So we ask you to guide us, O God. We ask you to guide us and lead us to put our trust in you. And then please forgive us for those times that we have fallen short of that. Lord, we ask you too to forgive us for all of our sins. Forgive us for the times when we have chosen to ignore the needs of others and for the times when we have refused to forgive people who have wronged us. Forgive us, and then, O God, please remind us that with faith the size of a mustard seed, we can grow to become the people that you want us to be. O God, as Park Place moves forward into the future, we ask you to remind every member here that this is your church. Help all of us to put our trust in you and to remember that through you, absolutely nothing is impossible. We ask you, O God, to guide the leaders of this world. Help them to follow the pathway that you have set before them. Remove evil from their hearts and stop all wars and conflicts. And please, O God, fill this world with compassion and with concern for others. We ask you, O God, to continue to bless everyone who's on our prayer list and anyone else who needs your loving and healing touch. Today, Lord, we especially lift up Donna and her family as they grieve, and we lift up Marilyn as she recovers from her surgery. And Lord, we give you thanks for the good news of Jan's great-grandson being born. We thank you too, O God, for the wonderful people in this church who have updated signs and who have worked so hard to make this place welcome and inviting. We ask you, Lord, to inspire us now as we pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today comes from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and there's two chapters. We have Matthew 13, 31 through 32, and Matthew 17, 14 through 20. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Hear this word for the people of God.
Well, thank you. Kind of complicated your job with two different scriptures, I realize, but thank you for being flexible. Well, I'm glad to see everybody back. We had a nice turnout Sunday, Easter Sunday. We had a good crowd for the sunrise service and an equally good crowd here in the sanctuary. So I'm glad to see you all back with us again this week. Have many of you moved much in your lifetime, in your career? Most of you been in Hutchinson, or have you lived in various places? You've moved? Okay. A lot of people have done a lot of moving, it sounds like. Well, if you've moved, then you kind of know what I've experienced, what Mary and I have experienced. As a child, we moved quite a bit. And then as an adult, being a minister, we've moved all over the place, all over Kansas and Tennessee and a number of different places. Now, you know, when you move, and those of you who have done some moving know what I'm talking about here, there are always certain adjustments that have to be made. you know, every region, every group of people does things just a little bit differently than the people who are where you came from. Now, for example, in 2006, we moved, Mary and I moved from Leavenworth, Kansas, down to Memphis, Tennessee. Now, that was a nice change. You know, it's beautiful in the South, but there were some things that were different, some things that we really had to get used to. Now, one of the things that we had to adjust to and had to adjust fairly quickly is that in the South, people hug and kiss. At church on Sunday, they call it the holy kiss, and they just kind of expect it, that they're going to give and receive their holy kiss. Well, when Mary and I got there, we're both basically Midwesterners, and we're used to the hug with the one arm where you kind of stand beside the person and sort of hug them. But these people give you the big bear hug, and like I say, they want that holy kiss and all. At first, I was a little bit surprised. I thought, man, what kind of a place have I moved into? Everybody's hugging and kissing and grabbing it. I don't quite know what to expect here. But over the course of time, we realized that that was just the way they are, just a little bit different culture than what we had gotten used to in the Midwest. And, you know, we also noticed there were some great things about living in the South. We were down there for about 14 years, and we really enjoyed it. One of the best things that we enjoyed there was the huge variety of birds that they had. Now, some of those birds were big, beautiful birds, hawks of all kind, gold eagles, bald eagles. It was incredible to see all these wonderful, large birds. In fact, they even had a festival in January at a little community north of us, the Bald Eagle Festival, where the bald eagles would migrate down the Mississippi River. They would all gather in this one area. So you would go there on this weekend in January and see hundreds and hundreds of eagles. It was really incredible. Now, not all the birds, though, were huge. Many of them were medium-sized birds. Goldfinches, which is my personal favorite. Doves, cardinals, just all of these really amazing birds. Now, when we realized there were so many birds, we put a lot of bird feeders out in our backyard so we could sit there all day long and watch these birds feed. But, you know, other birds that we saw were tiny birds, hummingbirds. When we got down there, we realized that just a little bit south of where we lived down in Mississippi, there was a place where the hummingbirds, when they migrated to the south for the winter, that they would converge. And you could go there in the fall and see thousands and thousands of hummingbirds. But, you know, we planted, when we realized the birds were there, we planted gardens with flowers that were favorites of the hummingbirds. We put lots of feeders out. We did everything we could because we wanted to see those tiny little hummingbirds. Now, you know, those birds, those little hummers, are tiny. They're very, very small. But they play a vital role in our earth. You know, depending on which resource you read, some people say that there are as many as 366 different species of hummers. And that makes them the second largest grouping of birds in the entire world. They're important because they pollinate plants. They pollinate flowers. And I read a while back that there are roughly 200 nectar-producing plants in North America. And 150 of those plants are pollinated by the hummingbirds. Now think about what that means. If something happened and we had no more hummingbirds, we would have very few flowers. Our world would be far less attractive than what it is now. You see, big things come in small packages. Now, I want to give you something. I'm going to give you this after church. But I brought with me today some mustard seeds. Now, you probably can't see the mustard seed from where I'm standing right now, so you're going to have to take my word for it. But I'm just going to pick one out and hold it for you. Can everybody see that? Is that pretty clear? Okay. Well, that mustard seed is a tiny, tiny seed. You hardly even notice it. In fact, you could drop it if you had it in your hand, and you probably wouldn't even really realize that it was gone. But that little tiny seed, that seed that is this big, develops and can grow into an incredible plant. You know, those mustard plants in one season can grow as tall as 12 to 15 feet in height. They're tall enough that a bird can actually build a nest, and they're sturdy enough that a bird can successfully build a nest in it. Big things come in small packages. You know, in the scripture we heard in Matthew 17, we saw the story of a young boy who was afflicted by the demons, or by a demon. Now, the disciples tried, and they were unsuccessful in getting rid of the demon, but Jesus came and immediately cast it out. And then after that happened, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why were we not able to heal that young boy?" And Jesus responded by saying that if you guys had faith the size of one mustard seed, this much faith, that you could move mountains. In other words, just this much faith would allow you to do absolutely anything. Now, faith can be a challenge, and I realize that. It's easy to talk about faith. It's easy to say we all need to be faithful. We all need to trust God. But sometimes we reach out to God and we don't get things quite the way we wanted them. Sometimes things just simply don't go the way that we wish that they would go. And for most of us, myself included, that's kind of hard to understand. Because we are in a relationship with God. And in any relationship, there are expectations. Now, when those expectations don't get met, questions and problems often arise. That's really nothing unusual. Those of you who have been married know exactly what I'm talking about. For example, when I worked at the hospital in Memphis, I worked with a nurse named Lori. Now, Lori was an incredibly faithful woman. She and her husband both were committed to their church. They were the kind of people who prayed continually, prayed literally without ceasing. They were wonderful people. And they had a beautiful daughter named Mallory. Now, Mallory was healthy. She was happy. She was a wonderful teenage girl. But when she was 16, she was diagnosed with brain cancer. Well, Lori and her husband, like I said, were faithful people, so they prayed. Everybody in their church prayed. Everybody at the hospital prayed. And for a while, it looked like the prayers had been answered because the cancer apparently appeared to go into remission. It looked like things were good for her. But several months later, it was discovered that the cancer had not gone away. She still had brain cancer. Well, once again, everybody prayed and prayed and prayed. But this time, things did not work out, and Mallory unfortunately died. You know, a lot of us had a hard time understanding why that would happen. You know, why couldn't this sweet, devout Christian teenage girl have lived? Why didn't God miraculously heal her? But, you know, even when faithful people don't get what we want, even when we don't necessarily understand what's happening, we need to refuse to give up. Because just because things don't go the way that we wanted them to go does not mean that God has abandoned us. It just means that things are going a direction we hadn't expected. You know, Lori and her husband were an incredible example of faith during this process. You know, they were hurting, they were angry, especially her husband for a time was really angry with God and frustrated. And yet they both refused to give up on God. Whether they understood what happened or not, whether they liked what happened or not, they continued to turn to God, to ask God to give them strength, to help them as they recovered from their tragedy. And one of the things that they focused on was the belief that they would get to see Mallory again one day. They made that an important part, a critical part of their healing process. In fact, on what would have been her 18th birthday, they did a balloon launch as a way of kind of remembering that she was in God's care and that one day they too would rise and would see her again. They were, like I said, an incredible example of faith. Things didn't go the way they wanted them to go, obviously, and yet they never gave up on God. You know, the same thing is true for churches, just like it is for individuals. You know, we pray for things, we want things, we ask for things, and sometimes it just doesn't go the direction that we wish it would. For example, look at churches in America. You know, most churches are not getting what we are hoping for, what we're asking for. You know, church in America has been on the decline now for a very long time. And most of the studies you look at show that the decline began during the Vietnam era, and it really hasn't changed much. But because the church is smaller than it used to be, does that mean that church can no longer do big things? Because there are fewer people in the church, does that mean that we can't still serve God? We still can't be loyal to God? We still can't share God's love with other people? You know, I can think of a lot of examples that would say that the answer to that question is no. First Christian Church in Leavenworth, I mentioned a while ago. When we left there in 2006, they were averaging 200 or more in attendance on Sunday mornings. Their attendance now is about 60, 70 people on a Sunday morning. But that church has refused to give up on serving God. Even though they're not as big as they used to be, they are still doing amazing things. And one of those things they've become very involved in is a program called the Leavenworth Interfaith Shelter of Hope. It's a feeding program and it's a housing program for people who are homeless and people who are struggling. No, they're not as big as they used to be. But their faith is just as big, and they are still continuing to serve God. I'll give you another example, a smaller example of that. And when I was at the hospital, I did some interim work for the United Methodist Church, and for a while served at a little church over in a town called Hughes, Arkansas. And if you haven't heard of Hughes, I'm not surprised, because it's a very small community. Well, that was a little town that was in many ways kind of sad. You know, when I started serving that congregation, one of the members took me around town and he showed me all the now abandoned storefronts that one time were thriving businesses. The population of the community shrunk, and as that shrunk, the churches shrunk as well. But you know, that little church, even though they weren't what they used to be, you know, probably 40 or 50 years before I knew them, they continued to serve in Hughes. You know, the population isn't as big as it used to be, but there's still a need. Still a need for God, still a need for love, still a need for Christ. And the members of that church refused to give up on serving and sharing God's love with other people. Now think about all that, and then think back to that little bitty mustard seed. If every person in this congregation had just this much faith, just that much, imagine what this church could do in this community. You know, Park Place, as we all know, is not as big as it once was. But does that mean that this church no longer has anything to offer? That's true only if you decide that's true. If you decide we're not going to serve, we can't be what God wants us to be anymore, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you look at churches like I mentioned, First Christian Leavenworth, the Methodist Church in Hughes, Arkansas, you realize that that just isn't true. Whether a church is as big as it used to be or not does not mean that it cannot continue to serve. It cannot continue to share the love of Christ in the community. You know, look at this church. I mean, get your newsletter out from last week and look at all the things that this church is still doing. We hosted the blood drive last Friday. In fact, Mary and I stopped by for a while, and there were, I think, 30-some people who were going to be there to donate blood. The soup kitchen, the bread and the cup ministry is still involved in. On April 27th, the evangelism and membership group is going to be putting together a pizza and movie night that I think is going to be a great opportunity to share God's love with other people. On May 8th, there's going to be a Head Start ice cream social sponsored by that same group of people. There's potential for reaching out to the local community college. I've met with some people out there about their food pantry. And there's some good potential ways that this church can help college kids to make sure they're getting enough to eat and also to feed them not only physically, but also, I believe, spiritually. We're going to be hosting the Central District meeting the first part of June. Look at all the things this church is doing right now. You are still serving God. No, you're not as big as you used to be. 20 years ago, there were, you know, maybe 200 people in the pews. There aren't that many today. But you're still serving God, and that is what matters. That is what means this church has a future. That is what means that this church is still the house of God. Because you have chosen to not give up. And so I encourage you to continue to not give up. You know, this is a transitional period of time. There are changes. There are ups and downs. I'm an interim minister, and at some point you're going to have a nice, young, you know, fresh person up here in the pulpit. These are the times to look forward to what God has in store for this church. Because I believe that God has wonderful things in store here. But it's critically important that you, the members of this church, maintain that mustard seed of faith. Just this much faith. That's all it takes to trust in God. That's all it takes to continue to be the church that God wants you to be. Now, I'm going to stop at this point, but next week I'm going to pick up and talk a little bit more about mustard seeds. But in the process, I want to give you some homework, give you something to think about. And you're going to help me write my sermon this week by telling me what you think about when you talk about this and you pray about it. I want you to ask God what mountains there are in Hutchinson that God wants this church to move, that God wants this church to be involved in, to work in, and to share in. And then, like I say, you're going to help me write my sermon. So if you don't give me any feedback, it's going to be about a 2-minute sermon next Sunday. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Send me emails or call me or whatever you need to do. And let me know as you pray, as you ask God what the mountains are that God wants this church to move. Let me know what you're hearing in response. Okay? With just this much faith, my friends, this church can and this church will continue to move mountains. Okay? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that When we have faith in you, we really don't have to worry. As long as we're focused on you, you're going to guide us, you're going to lead us, you're going to take us exactly where we need to be. So, Lord, I ask you to continue to bless Park Place Christian Church today and tomorrow and clear on into the future. Lord, I look forward to hearing what thoughts and ideas you put into the hearts of the church members as they pray this week and ask you what mountains you would have this church move. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The wind is picking up again. Well, we are celebrating God's love. We celebrate God's love every time we come together to worship. But now we're at the point where we celebrate God's love at the table. We remember that God loves us every time we take communion. We remember that we always have hope. We always have purpose because we will never be without God's love. So let's sing together our communion hymn, number 259, Spirit of the Living God. As we gather now at our Lord's table, we call for that Spirit to fall afresh on us. In other words, we call God and we ask God to continue to be with us. As we gather at this table, we remember that God loves us. We remember that when we reach out to God, when we look up to God, that we are not disappointed. Because God is here, God loves us, and communion reminds us of that love. Would you pray for us?
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, as we gather today, partaking of the elements that you've given us, let us look to you in the good times and the bad, and lead us in our daily lives to do the best we can. Amen.
As we gather now at our Lord's table, we remember. We remember that on the night that Christ was betrayed, that he took bread, and that after he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember then the same way he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
God gives us the opportunity to share from our bounty for the ministries of our church, that Christ's redeeming love may be known to all people. Let us joyfully give as the deacons receive our morning offering.
Faithful Father, thank you for the gift. Give the gift of abundant eternal life. You have said that you are a good Father who gives us good gifts. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything we have in this gift from you, as we bring our offerings back to you, we give back to you from the abundant blessing you have given us. May our gifts be abundant in your sight, O Lord our God. Blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power, be upon us, God, forever and ever, through your Lord. Amen.
Well, God's love is real and God's love is very present with us. But if you're with us today and you've not experienced that love through faith in Christ Jesus, we invite you to come forward and to publicly accept him as your Savior and Lord. Also, if you're worshiping with us and you're looking for a church home, we invite you forward so that we can officially welcome you into this Christian family. And then finally, if you feel that you have a need for prayer, if you feel it's time to grow and recommit yourself to Christ, we invite you to come forward so that we can all pray with you. Let's sing together our invitation, which is Take My Life. Well, as we conclude this time of worship, I remind you that God loves you. I remind you that God is present with you every single moment. I remind you that all you have to do is have this much faith to hear God's voice, to feel God's presence, and to do God's work. So may God bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.